The lights go down, the picture fires up, and with LG, your couch becomes the front row. From late-night streaming to game-day watch parties, LG OLED and QNED TVs make every screen moment bigger, brighter, and easier to love. With smart features that feel effortless and sleek design that looks beautiful even when the screen is off. Because when it's LG, movie night doesn't just happen. It becomes the event. Bring the theater home with LG. See the latest OLED and QNED TVs now at LG.com.
And we're back. This is Keep It. I'm Nina Parker.
I'm Louis Vertel, and I love speaking second. Oh, I've missed it so much.
I was going to say, do you feel like you can lay a little bit of your burden down now?
Yeah, no. When you speak second, it's like, oh, you do all the responsibilities, right. And I get to just be the featured guest. Who knows what I'll say? I'm wacky.
But I love it, though, because if there's ever anything that you are not available for, I can pop in and vice versa.
Yes, right.
It's just a little, lighter on you.
Yes. No, I can't explain. I just feel like the invited guest. I feel like I'm at a dinner now. You know?
Do you love being a guest on other pods?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love being a guest at like a dinner or like, back in the day when we had like panel shows, you know, it's like, I miss about like something like Chelsea lately. It's like, you at least would just get three, you know, comics popping off. Like there isn't much of that anymore.
People don't understand how much it is to orchestrate the conversation as opposed to just answering questions.
Oh, yeah. No, there's nobody I respect more than game show hosts who have to like make the contestants look good, but then explain all the rules.
Oh, no,
but then,
baby.
Like make everybody feel
reunion
good.
Reunion hosts.
Yes. Oh, my God. Reunion hosts.
Those
should be Nobelists.
Yes. You really should get an award for that.
You've done a ton of that, though,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. And I did it during when they were fighting. So yeah. It wasn't just like arguing, it was physical fights, it was physical body slams. I mean, security bum-rushing people. I really do feel like it was another lifetime ago because it doesn't feel real when I tell you, but it really was.
Now, during those times, during like a fight, are you like popping off with one-liners? What camera are you looking at?
No, it's so crazy because when I did the reunions, if people don't know, I used to do the Love and Hip Hop reunions. They would give me my own security, which no.
Amazing.
It's everything I say out loud sounds crazy, but I was so used to it. It's not weird until I say it to someone who isn't familiar.
Like most trauma. Yeah.
Right. Like most trauma because we would have metal detectors, even me. Like, I'm a professional host, and they would make me go through the metal detectors. And then, you know, they would, when you got on stage, I'd have two security guards on either side of me. And then they'd have security guards at the end of each couch, because Love & Hip Hop had four couches. So it was two on stage and two down in the audience. And then the audience sometimes would fight.
Oh, like full Springer style.
They would come, and this is not planned. I can't speak to the show, but I will say, the filming of the reunion was not orchestrated in any way.
Yeah.
And there was one time where someone came from the audience onto the stage to fight a cast member.
Just inviting themselves.
And landed a punch.
A dinner guest,
yes.
If you will.
And then one of the hairdressers got involved from the cast.
Don't you want to work again?
And so security would always, it was like the present, they'd be like, swarm. And they'd grab me and eventually I would just get up. If you just started fighting, it was like I was at the laundromat. I'd just be like, okay.
Yeah,
and
okay,
I would just move out of the way.
But just like mentally, you're out of it too. You're just like, I don't even have to deal with that.
For the most part, I have to tell you, it didn't bother me. I was just irritated because every time there was a fight, we'd have to stop down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And right. You know what? I feel like that's the look on Andy Cohen's face I'm often seeing during these things.
It's
like,
you are.
I want to get to dinner.
Because I have to say, the Love and Hip Hop reunions, as far as I know, were the longest reunions in TV because I would get in, my call time was 8. So I'd get up at like 7, right? And we would film from, I do hair and makeup and eat. And I think we would film from like 11:30 a.m. till 2 in the morning.
Mother of fucking God.
With a 30-minute lunch, dinner break to use the bathroom. Like they wouldn't even want me to stop down to go to the bathroom. So it would film till, you know, if we stopped at midnight, that was a good day.
Love and Hip Hop, I'm sorry, oil and vinegar. I'm sorry. They don't go together, sweetie. There it all is.
So there we go.
I said it.
So there you go. If y'all wanted to know a little bit about me, I'm okay with violence, apparently, because, it just didn't. I was more concerned with our time.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. Well, okay. Speaking of violence, though, Nina, you like transitions?
I
know you work in the industry.
Listen,
I know you work in the industry.
This is brilliant.
The 2026 Primetime Emmy nominations came out last week. If you'd like to see Nina's and my initial reactions, visit the Keep It Instagram at Keep It Show on Insta. Picking up from there, I'd like to take a moment to recognize a very special nominee. Girlfriend, I'm right here. It's me, Lewis. Variety writing for Jimmy Kimmel Live. Mother, what did you get me?
Listen, I bought you a little gift.
Oh, first of all, it looks like a weapon.
I brought it in here. It does look like something I smuggled through TSA. But it's just a little something to let you know I was thinking about you, and I'm so happy for your nomination.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, I'm going to unwrap it. Yes. This is very Clue the movie.
And I need that bag back.
Okay. Oh my God. But is this Hollywood Boulevard?
This is your number one in my heart.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put this on my mantle,
yes,
which I
should.
Don't have. Yes. Oh, well, thank you, Nina.
You're so welcome. It's just
thank
a little
you.
Something to let you know that you're a winner to me.
Okay. And you know what? I mean, like, I honestly don't know my chances. It's very strange. We're up against John Oliver, who wins every year.
Yeah.
But I feel like there might be voter fatigue. Who knows?
There could be.
And then Stephen Colbert, who won last year.
This year's a wild card.
Yeah, you know.
Because there's a lot of factors into voting, I feel like, which it's not going to be just about the show. It's going to be about the climate, right?
Oh, certainly. And also, I mean, in general, I think voting for the Emmys is about the vibe of the show because it's so hard to watch every show.
Right.
And in fact, when you look at the nominations for all the Emmys, I feel like we're in this weird universe where there's now lots more slots, namely in the supporting actor categories, and yet they're all being filled up by the same one or two TV shows.
Sure.
So I look at these nominations and they feel uninspired or like we didn't see all the TV shows.
Right.
We just picked a couple and then decided, let's just run the board with them.
Right.
You know?
Now, do you get to attend?
Well, I believe this year, our category has switched in a number of years. I believe mine's at the Creative Arts Emmys. So I believe I'll go to the parties for the Primetime Emmys, but not be at the main show.
Okay, got it. Unless we get to go in there.
Yes.
We can sneak up in there.
Oh, yeah. And also, every once in a while, like, I work with Guillermo at Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, that's
he
right.
interviews celebrities backstage, and sometimes I'll work those ceremonies with him. So maybe I'll get in that
Guillermo way. Guillermo working the carpet. I love it.
Oh, yeah. when he has an earpiece in, it's fully, like...
Is he on every show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but, like, when he does, like, this red carpet stuff, you know, we give him an earpiece, and it's fully, like, Cicely Tyson doing a play at 96. We're like, say this. He's actually great and improvisational, but we do give him lines.
He's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
No, this is exciting. I can't wait for Emmy season. I think this is going to be cool. I think we need to have some Emmy specials because you're really involved. So we got to really tap into this.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm excited for September.
I'm also excited, of course, for Lisa Kudrow to face off against Jean Smart, even though this is like a battle only gay men think is going to happen because Jean Smart's right. going to win again, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but Lisa Kudrow, I'm going to be honest, should win.
Oh, no, me too. It's a very impressive performance.
Yes.
That show is never not strange. It's
yes.
a very mysterious, awesome, intriguing
it
show, dark show.
I saw your video that you posted on social about it, and I was like, you were saying that it was only a gay men watch, but I am a big fan of The Comeback.
Oh, are you really?
Huge fan of The Comeback. Rewatch it every year.
Wow. Well, you work in TV.
Yeah, but it's... But that's a niche show.
Yeah.
And I watched in real time the first season where what's the guy? I can't remember his name, but the guy who ended up being in Twilight, like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, you're right. So Kellen Lutz.
Yes.
Yeah,
Kellen Lutz. He was in it. Like, there's so many cool.
Yeah,
like,
Malin Ackerman.
Go back and watch it. And you literally, and it's kind of a part of the show is that they end up growing in the industry and you see them over years become stars. But it's just such a, and if you haven't watched The Comeback, it's obviously easy to binge because there's only three seasons. It's like once every decade. But
right, yeah.
I just think she, for Valerie Cherish, should get all the awards.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm also always intrigued by who it's actually inspired by. You like you always
right.
hear like maybe it's Deborah Messing, maybe it, but it's like the particular like kind of sarcasm she puts into like that like the darkness of being an actress. You just know that that's well earned over years and years of living in Los Angeles.
And the theme of the show is so interesting because in the first season she was doing this reality show and everyone in the industry was shitting on her. And really, if you think about it, her character was really before her time.
Totally.
You
no,
know?
Which is so sad.
It's
she should not know anything.
Right, because if there's any foreshadowing from this season, that is scary.
Right, precisely.
You know, with the AI component.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, and this season had its ups and downs, but she was, of course, fabulous. I felt like elsewhere, Widow's Bay, which I still have not seen, really wowed everybody. Are you a big fan?
Oh, huge fan.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't seen it yet.
I was late to it. I think I started mid-season. On Threads, people were talking about it. There's one girl in particular who honestly annoyed me because she talked about it so much. I said, I'm going to just watch this shit to shut her up because she would talk about it every day.
Yeah.
And I thought, it can't be that great. It's that great.
No, that's just it. I've heard so many people like tout it that my resistance is just, well, no, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to watch 80s game
just
shows
just because
again.
It's popular.
Yeah.
But I actually think this is your wheelhouse. Like, I know you're not a big horror fan, though.
No, but it sounds like the genre shifts and the comedy of it are both like very fun, too.
It's not like slashery. It's more creepy.
Yeah.
There's some definitely moments where you're like, okay. But it is probably one of the funniest shows of the year.
That's so annoying that I haven't seen it.
It is. It's genuinely, like, you see me giggling. It's I'm just recalling things that won't make sense to you. But if you commit to the first episode, it's going to be easy for you to get into because you'll slide right in there.
Okay, that sounds good. I guess elsewhere I'm rooting for Rae Seahorn, who's a great in Pluribus, loved her on Better Call Saul. And also, I root for people who seem rad in interviews.
Yeah, if there's one Pluribus hater, it's me.
Oh, yeah? The whole show?
The show? Yes.
Hate the character?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've dealt with a lot of women like that in my life, and I don't really enjoy watching a full show about someone like her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know? But I hate watch it.
But I was going to say, like, is it such a recognizable personality type delivered in such a, like, as I can see you, like, tensing up. Like, can you not respect that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I hate a character, I respect the show and the actress because I know that she's just doing her job. Because if she wasn't acting this good, I wouldn't hate her.
Like Issa Briones on The Pit.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Another show where like thousands of people were nominated suddenly.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which I don't think she was, by the way.
Say no, you're right. It was like Taylor Dearden. Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah, all the others, like Catherine Linaza.
And Santos is such an opposite from how she really is. I'm actually surprised that she didn't get the nominations. The Pit was really good at record. They got their nominations while they were filming. Yeah. So they recorded real-time reactions of them high-fiving. And I don't think I'm cheering for any cast more than The Pit.
Yeah.
Like, they feel like my friends.
I have to say, even when I don't think the show is as good as it once was, I feel the same way somehow. You feel like you know
two seasons.
Yes, right. But I know. I just so prefer the first season, generally
Really?
Speaking. But okay. Also, just the pure cabaret of everybody is from, like, Wales or, like, the other side of the earth. And then they're playing people from Kansas. It's like, these are not just actors. They are liars.
These are, like, theater actors from Britain. Like, these are, like, really upper echelon. And then they're just playing, you know, Sandy from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right.
Is that a Pittsburgh accent? I don't know.
Kind of was. That's Mayor of Easttown.
This is how I imagine all the lovely city, by the way.
Yeah.
Can we shout out Brittany Allen and Jeff Cobra, though?
Oh, please.
Brittany Allen, which, by the way, she played the character Roxy, who was sick with terminal cancer. Jeff Cobra obviously is a friend of Dr. Robbie. And so HBO did not submit them. Brittany actually said HBO declined her when she said, hey, I want to be submitted. They were like, no, girl. Now, they only were allowed 14 nominations. However, you know, they did really great supporting actor roles, you know, guest roles. And so they submitted themselves, which I honestly didn't know that you had heard, you know, that before, kind of lightly sprinkled. But I feel like we're really focusing on the fact that you can self-submit and also campaign. Like, you can campaign, you can go on podcasts, interviews, you know.
Oh, I love when people go off and they're like, think of me. Yes.
Right.
The Melissa Leo strategy. Yes.
Exactly. And so what's so funny is they got these nominations and then she made her own graphic on social media. Brittany did. To talk about the fact that she got nominated. And then HBO caught up and did a graphic for her and posted her on their main page.
Okay. So I'm happy with HBO's technique. They're like, go ahead, girl. We'll get to you when we get to you. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a metaphor for, like, the way this industry is right now.
Yeah, right.
But also,
yeah,
like,
it feels
you know,
like that. Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people at these networks are making decisions that none of us agree with. We're all kind of like, what are you doing? And this is kind of an echo of that. Like, I think that sometimes these people are working so much that they no longer are tapped into people.
Oh, sure.
And so now we see evidence of this. We see it in evidence, obviously, from the explosion of digital, but, like, just evidence as far as, like, a submission, which it's like, I don't know if this would have hurt. You guys had 14. I don't know if this would have hurt to be able to nominate these people. Either way, they snagged it.
Right. I also want to say that the host this year is Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
Which we're in a very puzzling space with hosts recently, with, like, Pink hosting the Tonys. And now Mariska Hargitay. Now, I'm not saying she isn't a delightful personality, often quotable as an interviewee.
Sure.
But rarely a personality, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder what we're going to get from her. I feel like people will do musical numbers perhaps around her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't find her particularly funny.
Yeah. I love the documentary about her mom.
Yes, of course, about her
Jane Mansfield, yes.
Yes, of course. I mean, well, that's what we want to talk about.
Yeah,
is, you know, during this
get on stage and talk about Jane Mansfield. Never mind, now I want it.
I mean, usually this is reserved for comedians
Yeah.
or someone who is, like, a comedic actor. actress or actor.
I also feel like we're in a space right now with like award show hosts where it's either you're a newish comic who's never done it before and we're going to give you a shot like Nate Bargatze, which was like questionable.
Sure.
Or you've done this 10 million times and there's no in between of like somebody we can kind of depend on who isn't like sick of the whole rigmarole. Like it's like, I guess like John Mulaney would be an ideal middle ground.
Right, right. You know? I mean, I guess I'm just happy it's no one from TikTok.
Yeah, please. No, you don't start me on that. I can't go to the apocalypse yet.
So I'm like, I guess it's, I mean, it's not, no hate at all towards her, but it just was a different choice. And maybe there's.
I wonder if she pitched it. Yeah.
She could have. Yeah. She got a lot of shine through the playoffs, you know, because she was front seat at the Knicks. But I mean, if that was the case, they'd have Spike Lee up there. So,
yeah, right. You know. By the way, why isn't he hosting things?
Because Spike don't want to.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like. Well, this is just me and my, you know, terror brain talking. But, like, if, like, somebody wins and Spike doesn't like it, you know you're going to get the full, like, gift
but
side
Spike
eye.
Be ready to go home.
Yeah.
Spike is at this age where, like, so I'm not friends with him by any stretch of the means, but I've been at events where I've been able to chat with him shortly, and he'd be ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
He's there for that hour. He's coming in. He's introducing. I was able to go to the AFI Awards where they were honoring. Who were they honoring? Who's the director of The Godfather?
Oh, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that name.
Welcome to Keep It. Listen,
welcome to Perimenopause. that's the name of this. My segment is called Perimenopause Brain. But yeah, so they were honoring Francis Ford Coppola, which I don't know how I was in this room. Yeah. But anyway, Spike was there. And he did some introductions and it was so cool. But by the end of the night, you could tell like him, all Robert De Niro, they were, I have no idea how it was at these tables, but they were there.
But a lot of these things, like at the SAG Awards, like you're like, I was put at some random table and who was to my left? Nominee Helena Bonham Carter. Yes. Like, sorry, Helena.
Yeah, right. No, but I'm like, why am I next to Glenn Close?
Yeah, no, all these things, by the way, are really long. And if they're not filming, it's just, it feels like you're sitting on set at a commercial waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look, you see the most exciting moments, but I you know, not to take away the joy from award season, but award shows are notoriously boring.
And also, well, they're way better at home. When, like, during the commercial, you're getting, like, chips and salsa.
Yes, or a drink.
Yes.
Oh, or a joint.
Yeah, right. Yes, right. Yeah. Walking outside.
I'll never forget, I went to Highest to Lowest, which was Spike's latest film that he did on Apple. I went to that
Which, by
premiere.
The way, I liked. I feel like it got mediocre reviews.
Yeah, people didn't love it. I thought it was cute. Mm-hmm. But maybe he doesn't want his film to be seen as cute. So, but either way, I thought it was cute. And he was there. And we chatted for, like, 2 seconds. And I was like, well, I'm getting a picture of Spike. I don't give a damn. And I never asked for pictures. Yeah. And so we took it. And then my girlfriend wanted to take a picture with him too. But she was trying to find like her light or something. And he looked at her. He was like, you want to hurry it up? And I was like, oh.
Yeah, duh.
He had his wine and he was hiding the wine. So he didn't want to be in pictures with the wine,
oh,
which
wow.
I thought was it. I'm like,
he was still working it. Yeah.
Spike, this old school, like, don't take pictures with alcohol. We pass that, babe.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you don't take a picture with a shot of joint, you can take a picture with a crack pipe. Yeah, nobody would give a shit.
So you're not working for like Disney in the 50s.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's always still a thought. It's very old school. Like, hide the alcohol, hide the da-da-da.
I love that, like, though.
Yeah.
Know.
I mean, it's very classy of him. But, you know, very old school Hollywood. He's very old school Hollywood, but he's very much a director. And like, you got it. Let's go.
Right, right.
And he's like that in person.
By the way, speaking of classy, though, we lost a classy person this week.
We did.
The lovely Sam Neill. Talk about instant gravitas. If you hear this man in an interview or in any movie, and of course, Jurassic Park is his, the one everybody knows, you are like instantly taken by his character. He was such a like bewitchingly smart and aware
and
performer.
And in everything.
Yeah, no, secretly in everything.
Right.
You look at his filmography, you're like, oh, right, The Horse Whisperer.
I was like, now Sam been in everything.
Yeah, he's also in the most still underrated Meryl Streep movie, which is A Cry in the Dark, which is the Dingo Ate My Baby movie.
Yes!
Which is, I'm sure I've said 10,000 times in the show, is like the most misunderstood Meryl Streep movie. Mm. It's not, I would guess most people think it's comedic. It is a serious drama about a woman whose child dies.
Right.
And then it's about the media firestorm and how it misrepresents this woman and how she reacts to the media. So it's
a
very savvy movie. It's
a
fabulous movie.
I actually think I'm going to do, I would love for you to make me a list of rewatches because this, I think, would be on top.
Oh, no. Watch me. You think I haven't written that already? Oh, let me get down to writing down which movies people should see. Yeah, Nina, I got to
me,
it.
Me personally.
Okay, though. No. Oh, right. No, yes. I'll put it in a little black bag and give it to you.
This is also something you could literally do while you're, you know, on the toilet. I feel like this is something that is just secondhand.
It's what I do.
Right.
Yes.
It's what you do. Exactly.
He's also in this fabulous movie, My Brilliant Career, with one of my favorite actresses, Judy Davis. That's from the 70s. People also often call him an Australian actor. He is a New Zealand actor, which reminds me, I had a moment over the weekend in Fire Island with someone who is, I just want to say, my age. And as you know, I'm a million.
And they, well, if you a million, I'm a billion.
Okay, well, they were from New Zealand. Okay. Now, and here's the thing. And I said something, I'm just like, oh my God, who's your favorite New Zealand celebrity? And
you asked this?
Yeah, this is who I am. I just want to say, by the way, I thought that was a fair question.
Because,
by the way,
small talk.
I didn't choose to be this way.
Who's your favorite actor from California? I'd be like, if you don't get your eyes in my face, get out of my face. Let's take a shot and shut up.
So maybe I was being patronized. I don't know. But I'm sorry. New Zealand has four celebrities. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's true.
It's like Peter Jackson and Melanie Lynskey and Lord and not Gautier, but Kimbra. Okay, that's it.
That's fair.
Yeah. And also Sam Neill was in The Piano, directed by the great Jane Campion.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I love Jane Campion. I love The Power of the Dog. She said that dumb thing about Venus and Serena, but I love her.
Right.
This guy, my age, is like who?
Oh. Oh,
excuse you?
Uh-oh.
You
oh,
came all the way
goodness.
From New Zealand to my territory to not know who Jane Campion is.
Did you start swinging?
I started swinging for like my travel agent. I was like, get me out of this town.
I just love it when you're appalled. You appalled is my favorite part of your personality.
No. Well, also people don't know what they're walking into, I guess.
Right.
But it's just like, again, it's like New Zealand. I mean, a beautiful country.
Yes.
I'm sure if I visited there, I'd be like, this is so scenic or whatever. But in terms of celebrity count, they're down there with like, you know, Somalia.
Now, were
you know,
they
you should just know this.
Were they confused or did they have like a little toot about it?
They certainly didn't add anything to the conversation. I guess it was attitudinal. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like they
but,
were maybe.
So was I. Yeah. If you will.
Did the conversation end well?
Yeah. Oh, it ended. I mean, yeah. I'm here now.
It ended well because it ended.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I know how to get you out of a conversation is pretending I don't know someone you love. You will end that conversation.
Oh, yeah, right. We will both duck out of the room.
Yes.
Like there's a tornado. Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah, well, anyway.
Anyway, Sam Neill, awesome
rest
actor.
Rest in paradise.
And and by the way, again, every interview I see of this man, he is so darling and sensitive. So literally just review those two. He's in a movie called Event Horizon where he's fabulous. There's lots of great Sam Neill movies.
We do have to say Jurassic Park series is where he's like, obviously, I know that that is not what you probably would come
out
Oh, no,
but it's like, imagine that movie without him.
Right.
There's something about the gravitas of his voice that makes that movie better.
I think of his face when I think like, about it. I think of his face before I think about a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like he was the face of Jurassic Park.
Yeah. No, there's something about that like authority he has that makes you believe Jurassic Park is real.
That's so true.
You know?
So I went to this ranch, Kualoa Ranch. It's this ranch in Oahu. And I went.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I went. I think I was in Hawaii. I was like, yeah, what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the scene of Jurassic Park because I'm a 70-year-old white woman when I vacation. So
oh, okay.
I just, you know, I'm doing...
Got a margarita.
I get a big hat and I just do random shit. I'm like, let me go look where the pineapples were made. So anyway, I went and it was the coolest place where it's like this jungle in the mountains on like the island and you're going through the woods and you get to take the ATVs and it was just the coolest place. And they filmed several of the scenes on this island where,
oh, rad.
And you do hear noises where you're like, I think dinosaurs can still be here. You hear random like,
oh, interesting.
Yes. And you're like, what was that? Cause then you forget you're on this tour, but like nature is still nature.
Yeah.
Like you're still in the woods and there's parts where like, we don't go to this area. And I'm like, you know what, girl, you ain't said nothing to me. I'm getting out of here. Because let me tell you something. I'm not a person you have to warn twice.
Oh, of course.
You tell me one time not to go somewhere. I ain't going nowhere near it. I'm not like a, let's go check out the noise person.
And by the way, I'm telling you, there's a huge contingent of gay men that are obsessed with Jurassic Park.
Really?
And you would think like, oh, Laura Dern's in it. It's not just that Laura Dern's in it. It's the tying of the shirt, which I'm telling you, like gays, well, first of all, in 1993, there was no such thing as not being into dinosaurs. So we were all into dinosaurs. But I'm telling you, it was like, oh, cool, Velociraptor. I love that shirt.
It's so true.
Tyrannosaurus. I love how like it's tied up.
A little jungle chic.
Yes, right.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, there is something to be like looking like you're about to hike, but make it sexy.
Yes. Yeah, you know? You know, and also just like the better version of what we later got with like Bryce Dallas Howard with the heels running away from the dinosaurs. It's like, well, we're not stupid.
Bryce tried. Yeah, you know, right. I was like, girl, please.
Yeah. Pretty hair.
I love that. Yeah, I love people. She's like, let me get into action. I'm going to take off these heels and run. I just would have fell down and prayed.
No, right. Let me hide behind a rock, please. Exactly. Dinosaurs aren't smart.
Right.
Moving on. Okay, anyway, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to get into the Jay-Z phenomenon over the weekend, the 3-day concert bonanza. Plus, we're going to be reviewing our favorite moments from our favorite divas with a new game we've just developed, and I've decided we're going to franchise wildly, so get ready. But first, here's an announcement for any political gays that listen to keep it. Pride Month is technically over, but do you think that means you'll hear less of me? I'm feeling gay all year round. And I'll be wearing a t-shirt that says Gay for Democracy so everyone knows what I'm about, even in the rare moments when I'm not talking. If you love representing democracy and you love being queer, show up in style this election season. Pick up one in the Crooked store. Head to crooked.com/store to get yours today. Nina, we have a lot to talk about and very little time to get
there.
That's true. So let's do that. We'll be back with more Keep It. Keep It is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. It's everywhere right now, the celebration of America's 250th, and we're in the thick of it this month. Christian nationalists are using this milestone not to unite, but to divide. They're pushing the lie that America was founded to be a Christian nation, where just one religious movement gets to decide who fully belongs, instead of the truth that America was founded as a democracy committed to liberty and justice for all.
That's propaganda, not patriotism. It's a dangerous lie meant to justify censorship, discrimination, attacks on public schools, assaults on LGBTQ+ rights, restrictions on reproductive freedom, and government favoritism towards one extremist version of Christianity.
Americans United for Separation of Church and State is here to fight back against this dangerous and egregious misinterpretation of our founding documents. AU fights daily for everyone's ability to live as themselves and believe as they choose, so long as they don't harm others. Novel idea in the day and age where almost every day we're seeing Christian nationalism weaponize a faith to attack individual freedoms across the country.
Do something patriotic this summer as you're dodging the propaganda flying at you from all angles. Become a member of Americans United. By supporting AU, you're committing to stand up and protect church-state separation in every area of life.
Learn more about how you can support and how AU protects everyone's rights at au.org/crooked. Keep It is brought to you by Factor. Hunger strikes and you're exhausted, but there's something healthy in your fridge or pantry that you should be making, but you just don't have it in you. For me, eating healthy isn't a willpower problem. It's a setup problem until I found Factor. Guys, I am eating sometimes up to 18 of these meals every single week. It's the easiest meal to make. They are delicious. There's a honey mustard chicken that I crave. But honestly, every meal is fabulous. With Factor, I'm hitting my nutrition goals this season without the planning, grocery runs, or cooking.
Yes, Factor has meals built around your goals, whether that's weight loss, overall nutrition, more protein, or GLP-1 support for strength and workout recovery. You've got to check out Factor's Muscle Pro Collection.
Every meal is crafted with functional ingredients, lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole foods, and healthy fats. Factor bans 175 plus ingredients, no artificial colors or sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no refined seed oils, just nutrient-dense food.
That's right. It's fresh, never frozen, over 100 rotating weekly meals, including globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean and Asian, so there's always something new to look forward to.
So try the newly launched ready-to-eat salads with vibrant ingredients like elote corn and miso edamame, plus 70-plus add-ons to round out your nutrition, from green juices to peanut butter energy bites.
And the meals are ready in 2 minutes. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door.
This whole process is just so easy, which is why I use it and think you should too. Head to factormeals.com/keepit50off and use code keepit50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27th, 2026. See website for more details.
So Jay-Z performed the final acts of his 3 nights. It was sold out. Jay-Z 30 is a retrospective show on Sunday. Now, the Yankee Stadium residency served as a celebration of the New York City native's 30-year career, which is why we got some amazing guest performances. There was Beyonce, Eminem, Usher, Rihanna. Did you have any thoughts about this 3-day spectacular in New York?
Immediately my alarm is set off when I heard that Rihanna is performing.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, I believe that she kind of went away because we never pronounced her name correctly one time. She was like, well, I'm done. It's Rihanna.
It is Rihanna, but she says she don't care if you call her Rihanna. So I'm going to call her, you know, I'm going to say Rihanna. But
I know she's lying. I know she's lying. I think she holds a grudge and holds it well. I heard a bit of her, but I also heard the vocals I heard were maybe not the best of the Rihanna vocals. But you know what's so weird? Like at this point, Jay-Z to me is like the Stephen Sondheim of rap
in that
he's been a legend so long. And actually, we've been commemorating him as a legend for so long. Whereas like if you look at Stephen Sondheim's career, we were doing career retrospectives of him in the 70s.
Right.
This is before we even get to like whatever, Sunday in the Park. So like Jay-Z is that kind of person too. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's like, not only are you like the a legend, it's like, this is like the grandmaster
yes,
at this point.
And he's similar to Beyonce where it's like the rapper's rapper.
Yeah.
He's their icon, but everyone's icon and they come and they show up for him. So I love that, you know, Rihanna was performing and at the end she said like, I miss this shit. And I said, oh, are we going to get you back, girl?
Also, she is teasing you, bitch. You won't see her for 5 years.
She was so unserious on stage, I have to say. Like, the show started at, so the first 2 days she wasn't there. She came to the last show. The last show was kind of filled with, unfortunately, a lot of disasters to begin with. Like, it was supposed to start at like 9-ish. It didn't start till 12:16.
Yeah. Ooh, this is called Madonna behavior.
Yes. A lot of people left.
Lauryn Hill behavior.
Right. And I don't think, We don't know if it was Jay-Z or if it was security because there were people who like jumped the line and crashed an opening and they had to close it up. So it could have been security. We don't know if it was that or if it was Jay-Z, but there were a lot of delays and he didn't go up until like, you know, hours before he was supposed to. But I think by that time, everybody was drunk.
Right.
So people were saying, oh, the vocals with Rihanna weren't good. The vocals with Teyana Taylor. I said, yeah, they've been backstage probably drinking and smoking a little bit.
They got to do something.
You know, they was probably good because she after performing, she went to the audience with her man and was giggling and watching the show with everybody.
Huh.
Like, so she was just having a good time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do think, you know, performing is like an exercise. Like, you do have to exercise these muscles to really be stellar, right? Like, yeah. You don't, there's...
Oh, no, that's the curious thing about this. Because I don't think of Jay-Z as somebody who's, like, in the mirror rapping to himself during these years he's not performing. So I'm like, how does it sound? How good is it? But because, like, years ago, during the first year of Keep It, we went to Bonnaroo. And we happened to see Eminem. And it was like, wow, hasn't skipped a beat. Sounds exactly the same.
But I do think rapping and singing is different too, right? So it's like, can I get up and do this like spoken word? But then if I'm carrying a rift and I ain't done that rift for like, you know, a year or two,
it might sound a little sharp. Oh, sure.
You know? But either way, I'm going to see everybody. I mean, obviously Beyonce went on stage and also Blue Ivy played the piano, which I'm like, okay, Blue Ivy becoming a little musical genius.
Oh no, she's competing with Madonna's daughter, Esther, who did the piano for Bad Girl during the Celebration tour.
Yeah.
I'm always like, am I rooting for this child to work with their famous parent?
Right.
Is this trauma bonding? I don't know what this says.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that loves it. And then there's a part of, I mean, I guess what other outcome is there?
It sounds like she wants to be there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're the children of these, it's not even like you're children of a singer. You're children of icons, two icons. So it's like, what else you gonna do but just jump in this thing?
Yeah.
And she's still young enough where she can, I mean, there were things I was so into at 13 and 14 that I just forgot existed by 16.
Right.
Like Taekwondo. Why'd I do that?
Oh, no. The amount of things I thought I cared about during that time, you know, we all have that moment in elementary school where we're reading books about countries. Like, did I think I was going to live in Chile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get obsessed and hyper-focused, and this could be something that continues. Or she could one day be like, Mom, I want to do my own thing. So it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, when Beyonce is your mama, like, you gonna perform something.
Yeah. Do you have regrets about not being there?
No.
Okay.
No. I've talked about this a lot on Threads and on other platforms, but I have a huge social anxiety with large crowds.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I hate the vibe of, I don't know how I'm going to get a car out of there.
Right.
And I hate the, like, oh, I have to skip something in order to leave this, in order to leave it at the time I want.
Getting in and out of venues is my personal level of level 10 hell.
Yeah.
Like the idea of like getting into venues, being crushed with people, walking in, waiting. And the fact that thousands of people were stuck outside Yankee Stadium I had a friend who waited 3 hours before she was able to get in.
Yeah.
There's nothing I would want to do less.
Yeah, no, I mean, I went to Berlin for the first time last year, and when there are people in line for Berghain for 4 hours,
yeah.
And that's just what they vibe with. Right. They, like, they get into a headspace where that's where they kind of belong. Whereas, like, if I'm waiting too long, I can only call it undiagnosed ADHD. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
I'd rather just miss the opportunity than to stand in line for hours for anything.
Yeah.
I'm not standing. I see L.A. is a city of lines. Like, they really enjoy making people wait at the door.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you're waiting for donuts, quesadillas,
yeah,
or a new shoe. Like, they're gonna make a line and you're gonna wait.
Oh my God, the line for a shoe. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Any random day you're driving in LA, you're like, what's this line for?
Yeah.
You know, the line for Trader Joe's tote bags. They're $2.50.
Totally, every day. Yes.
And y'all in line for tote bags, y'all are sick. People are sick in the head. Y'all just want to stand in lines to stand in lines. Like, I feel like I'm in the Matrix when I'm driving by. You doing this shit for a tote bag?
Yeah, right.
You'd be better off sewing one in your garage and have it done before the time you got out this line. Are you crazy?
But you know, sometimes I do really need a pre-cut mango. I can't explain it.
Listen,
I want the really yellow piece.
I'd rather go hungry.
Yeah.
Then stand in line. There's nothing about standing in line that works for me. So if I have to do it willingly, like, okay, if I have to do this for a job because I'm waiting for a premiere, cool. But if I have to, willingly with my own free time, I don't want to be in a 4 or 5 and I don't want to be in a line.
It's like, you know what is kind of demoralizing? I hate to say it. And it's one of my favorite places on earth, Six Flags, where it's like, I pay a bunch of money to get in and then you go there and it's like line waiting.
Six Flags is your favorite? What?
Slow down. I love it.
You do?
I'm sorry. There's no other way to put this. This sounds so vulgar. I believe that roller coasters are bottoming for middle America. See? Now everyone's going to go.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun.
I could not. This is the straightest thing you've ever said.
You think so?
Yes.
I guess that's kind of true.
The only other thing is if you told me you were going to a Rams game.
Oh, excuse you. No, it is not the same thing. Also, I just have the constitution for it. Like, roller coasters don't make me sick or anything.
Okay, another thing. I told you I'm like a 6-year-old lady, but I get really bad motion sickness.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like the...
I don't. I'm actually fiercer than the roller coaster. The roller coaster gets motion
you
sickness.
You beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the energy of an amusement park, but there's just too many kids.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely too many kids, and they're often way too far out of the way. That's a little annoying.
Well, the parents use the opportunity to let them go rogue.
Yeah.
So they're literally just running around with cotton candy in their hair and hitting things, and their fingers are dirty, and they're running in front of you, stepping on your toes. I will go to jail these days.
Oh, please.
There's nothing that's, again, with this is in line with a concert, like going to Six Flags.
You know what's actually interesting? I was just at a normal gay house party, but then this was like a highfalutin sort of crowd, so that there were like family friends who had kids, and they brought the kids.
Oh.
A little weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what my kind of pet peeve is? Kids who are dressed too rich. I think a part of being a kid is like dressing your like rags. Like you need to be a ragamuffin.
Not dressing your rags, but I do get like putting a child in like an expensive cardigan.
Yeah, no, you do get that.
I get not doing it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I get your beef with it because yeah. It's
or just like
why?
Like a very amazing like green Nikes that match the shorts. I'm like, no.
But they grow out of things so quickly. But I guess, like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you're a parent. Like, you just, you know, you probably want to just dress them up.
Yeah, I just find it suspicious.
Yeah,
it's like you're making your kid be, you're giving them a persona that's very strange to me.
Any child conversation, I'm going to be the most out of touch you've ever heard because I'm like, I don't get it.
Oh, no. No, it's like they're speaking Spanish, I'm speaking Portuguese.
Yes, we're not. Like, what do you do with these things?
No.
I don't know what to do. I had a family reunion a couple of weeks ago in Oakland, and my cousins all have children, and their kids were the cutest. And I was just like, well, what do I say to them?
No.
She was like, just talk to him and play with him. I was like, play with. And I was talking to him like he was a grown man.
Picture me. You know, I'm talking to this kid. I'm like, what do you think about Jane Campion? She's a great director.
They actually like it, though, when you're talking to them like adults as opposed to, you know, I mean, he was trying to show me Pop-Tarts. But other than that, like, he wanted an adult conversation. So it actually, we meshed well.
Like, does like a little kid know who Beyonce is?
I think so. I don't know, though.
I remember like years ago there was a Jezebel article about how like nobody under the age of like 30 knows who Brad Pitt is.
Right.
And I'm just like,
oh my gosh,
will I be dead soon?
But a lot of them, I've seen these videos of these kids on like college campuses who didn't know Beyonce was in Destiny's Child.
No,
and
okay.
Nothing infuriates me more.
What do you know? You know what I mean?
Right. And then they say that they were born in like 2012 and I want to shoot myself. So,
sweet girl, my favorite movie is made in 1954. I was born in 1986.
Right.
That's not a barrier.
Exactly. So anyway, the Jay-Z concert, would that be something you'd go to in LA?
Oh, yeah. I love an event. I love things that like people, like not just a concert where like, limping in for, but like I am here for like an experience
right.
that is one of a kind.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say a couple of my girlfriends in New York said it was one of them was like, this was the best night of my life. Like people who are into concerts said this was one of the best concerts they've been to in a long time.
Well, I mean, fucking Beyonce is there, you know?
I mean, it's just a little bit of everything. And Beyonce, if she ain't going to do nothing, she's going to wear some bedazzled shorts.
Oh, please.
And no. I'm just like, oh, where can I get these little shorts from?
As you know, I believe Beyonce is the exact halfway point between Tina Turner and Storm from X-Men. You know, there's like that kind of lightning behind her.
Yeah,
so
true.
You
know? And the hair is going to be flowing. And yeah, I mean, her outfits for the shows were incredible. I'm always like, okay, let me put this in Google Image Search and see how I can get a little knockoff. Let me get this little glue gun and see what I can do. But yeah, it was amazing. Even the people who on the last night said that they had to wait hours, they all said that it was worth it. Although some of them did not get home until like 5 a.m.
Oh, sure.
Because obviously a lot of people were using.
Well, God, I hope they found drugs.
Honestly, baby, listen, this is the time to advocate for it. Now you got to do a little drugs and stay up.
Oh, please.
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm never an advocate of drugs, but if I have to be at work, imagine someone having to be at work at 7 a.m. the next day.
Oh, no, I'm sure that was most of them.
And you have to just stay up.
I believe Jay-Z at one of the concerts said something like, we're not going to try to do this till 5 a.m., but it still went on till 3.
Right.
It was like he thought he was joking.
And there's fines because apparently at Yankee Stadium, I think there's an ordinance where you have to stop by 11 or 12. And so he was like, I paid a fine, which I think was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Which he don't give a damn.
I'm going to say, no. You can't.
They wipe their nails with that.
You can't fee Jay-Z.
No. Can you imagine? This is how I am with parking tickets. I'm in L.A. I've decided I'm just going to pay it. Like, I'm not going to stress myself out about parking. And it's like $68.
Oh, you're saying you'll park your car and you'll be like, here it goes, $78.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. If there's a situation where I really need to be somewhere, I'm like, I don't care, girl. That little funky $70, y'all can have it. I'm park where I want to park as long as I'm not getting towed. And I feel like that's how Jay-Z thinks of fines, where my little $70, where I can say that's a drop in the bucket, he's like, $300,000, not a problem.
Oh, no, that makes sense. No, wait, what is your favorite just like Jay-Z moment? Like, what's your definitive like moment on record for Jay-Z?
Ooh, I mean, Song Cry. Pretty big for me. So when I was like in my 20s and I was getting my heart broken by like ignorant men, that was the song I would listen to be like, maybe this is how he feels. Maybe one day he'll be better and he'll think of me. So a song Cry has like.
And you're still together to this day.
I think it's just one of those things where I now understand my parents when we would have cookouts or it would be, you know, a Saturday night and they're dancing in the living room to songs from the 70s when I was a kid and I just didn't get it. It's not even that you love the song. It's like the memory you get from the song.
Oh, yeah.
That makes
it's so
like nostalgic.
Implanted, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that now I'm starting to be like, now I get why I only listen to old shit in the car. I need to be transformed back.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting the 90s back.
I also am very hostile about like listening to the things I love then. Because guess what? I was right then. They didn't get worse.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, listen. Music now is great, but the stuff from the 80s, right? The 80s and 90s, like being a child in the 90s, I just wish I would have known how special that was.
I know, but I mean, like, again, at the time, like, it was trashed left and right. Like, the MTV generation was treated like we were brainless, too.
Right.
So, whatever. I mean, it's just, like, it was very hard to do that.
Yeah, it was, but I'm now, like, watching old videos and being nostalgic. It was just a certain kind of core memory time of everything like that. I'm just holding on.
Oh, me
such
too.
A pedestal.
Well, speaking of the late 90s, of course, my favorite Jay-Z moment is Mariah Carey and the Heartbreaker video.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's your favorite moment?
Well, that is certainly, I think, the most... quotably, like, for the gays moment Jay-Z has ever had.
Okay.
Because that comes on and everybody does the entire rap.
It's like the one lyric everybody knows.
Yes.
Yes.
It's also just, like, very funny and light and just a great song, great moment for her.
And, I mean, he could get dark with some of the things that he's rapping about. So
certainly.
I feel like that's definitely the lightest you're going to see him.
Yes, almost certainly. But that also, I mean, just like I've never seen Beyonce live, so I'm like really.
Oh, you haven't.
I hope this.
You didn't go to any of the. You didn't go to Renaissance.
Again, I don't crave live music. Period.
Okay.
But it's stupid. I've never seen her. I hope we really are getting a rock moment coming up because that I would love to see.
Okay. Yeah. As I said, I'm not a big concert person, but I broke that rule for Beyonce.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible concert.
It also really feels like I think maybe her concert attendees have. Obviously, she'll have like a theme basically where what you're supposed to dress as, but like the best dressed attendees at a concert we have.
1,000%.
You know?
I mean, there's definitely like Most concerts, you just want to be comfortable. But for specific concerts, like even for the Jay-Z concert, there were people who were dressed up. Everybody did their, wherever you were from, did their best New York gear. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was wearing Yankees or Knicks stuff. And I mean, obviously it was at Yankee Stadium, so it was more Yankee themed.
I wore my Fran Lebowitz shirt. Right.
Themed up. Like, everybody had on something New York. It was nice to watch. It was good to see the fashion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, we got to look at the fashion with this. So yeah, it was good. I am considering going to his Paris performance.
Oh, fab. But I love traveling for a concert. That makes it fun.
So it's in the fall. And I'm thinking of going, I'm thinking of buying the tickets. Apparently, you know, maybe now, not after I say this, but the tickets are pretty affordable.
Oh, okay. Well, so, yeah, knock on all this.
And the heat wave will be gone. So, I mean, you could come and we could do a Keep It From Paris.
Oh, I've never been to Paris.
What?
I know. What's wrong with me?
Wait a minute. What? Stop. Time out. How have you never been to Paris?
I don't love food that much.
What? Food?
But... I'm gonna see.
Hello?
What? No, I should just go. I know everybody's obsessed with it.
Yes. Yeah. Are you? And you're in New York enough to where you can just. It's so quick from New York. I mean, not quick.
What did you just say?
Well, you get on there. This is my
it's
thing.
One of
like,
the other comments,
by the
actually.
Time you get on your laptop and work a little bit.
Oh yeah.
You know
what I
mean? You watch a movie. You eat a little.
Oh,
snack,
I watch like 4 movies.
You're there.
I love that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, London's a little closer, but still, like, it's not a. There's straight. Flights.
Yeah, right. No, it'll happen for me. It'll happen for me.
No, we got to do now. We got to go to Jay-Z. I'm gonna get his tickets.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh, by the way, you'll never come back.
No, I hear it's very intoxicating.
And you have
I hear
a very Paris like. They all act like you there.
You just said the F word at me. There's like there's something about you. I don't know really. It's there's like a kind of flair with a capital F, if you will. Ma'am.
I just mean they're sophisticated.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Sophisticated with a little shy. That's how they act there.
Quite.
They're very, but once they feel like you know what you're doing, they're into you.
Also, I love well-done rudeness, which is what their whole thing is.
You know, they do. I was in Nice last summer, and they were pretty rude there, but for some reason, it didn't bother me because I didn't feel like it was a racial thing.
Oh,
and I will be quick to say it was.
I always hear that that's an issue in Italy.
Yes, but I felt like it was almost like people were just irritated at Americans because the election had happened
not too far before. Correct. Good work.
And they were all like irritated for Americans. So I just feel like they were giving until they found out I was from LA.
Oh.
And they'd be like, where do you live? And I'd say LA. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And it was like, I had to start saying I was from the United States of Los Angeles, and then people left me.
Tell me more about this. Do you have a beret and a mustache, honey?
What was that? Like my accent? Where are you from?
I don't think you went.
Please don't cancel me.
Are you talking about Epcot? Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we have to go. I have to take you to all the things.
Okay.
Because like France is one of my favorite countries.
And we also, another thing we have to do is play this game, which was diva oriented. We're going to draw them from a cup and pick their best and worst moments. A little light, a little shade.
This was your idea. I hope you're ready to make this a whole game and franchise it and sell it online.
Done. Let's go. We'll be right back with more Keep It.
Keep It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. There are things in life that you don't want to be transparent, like your swimsuit or your search history. But when it comes to your wireless bill, transparency is everything. That's why Mint Mobile's wireless plans have no gimmicks and no gotchas. Just high-speed data and reliable coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. And right now, all plans are $15 per month, even unlimited.
Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right with premium wireless for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
Yeah, to get your new wireless plans for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/keepit. That's mintmobile.com/keepit. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/keepit. There's no catch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabytes hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com. Keep It is brought to you by 3 Day Blinds. There's nothing I'd rather be talking about right now than... blinds, especially 3-day blinds. I used the 3-day blinds in one of our conference rooms the other day. I just said, Alexa, open the blinds, and poof, she delivered.
There's a better way to buy blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery, and it's called 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of high-quality custom window treatments in the U.S. And right now, if you use my URL 3dayblinds.com/keep it, they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal.
We can shop for almost anything at home. Why not shop for blinds at home, too? 3-Day Blinds has local, professionally trained design consultants who have an average of 10-plus years of experience that provide expert guidance on the right blinds for you in the comfort of your home. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no-obligation quote the same day.
Not very handy. DIY projects can be fun, but measuring and installing blinds can be a big challenge. The expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros.
I love 3-Day Blinds because they add an air of get ready chic to every room I'm in. And I love just ordering them to open with Alexa. I feel so powerful, like a warlord in a movie. With 3-Day Blinds, you choose from thousands of options that fit any budget or style. Plus, from light filtering and blackout blinds to motorization and smart blinds that work with Alexa, 3-Day Blinds is a real upgrade to your home, not just a replacement.
3-Day Blinds has been in business for over 45 years, and they have helped over 2 million people get the window treatments of their dreams, so they are a brand you can trust.
Right now, get quality window treatments that fit your budget with 3-Day Blinds. Head to 3dayblinds.com/keep it for their buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/keep it. One last time, that's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to the number 3daiblinds.com/keep it. And we are back. Over the weekend, heated rivalry star Hudson Williams made headlines for going, quote unquote, berserk on some fans and paparazzi outside of Paris Fashion Week. Paris, remember that? Is this his first diva moment? Now, Nina, you know I love to dish on divas, so let's play a little game that I've just invented.
Yes.
I don't know if this is genius or not. We'll see. We're going to each pull a name out of this hat and name our favorite and least favorite thing that that star has ever done. I am so excited.
Okay, so favorite and least favorite thing that they've ever done.
Yeah, and this can be their work or it can just be something in life.
And we don't know the names of who was put in the hat. Our producers did that.
Correct.
Okay.
We are starting with, a name that has already come up today, Mariah Carey.
Oh.
Best and worst, Nina Parker.
Glitter.
Yeah, that's
the
worst.
The movie.
That's a worst.
It's the worst.
Okay, yeah. You know what?
Not the album.
Yeah.
The movie.
Love Loverboy.
The album, I mean, the movie was a little weird. Yeah. It wasn't my favorite thing that she did, but the album wasn't bad.
Yeah, right. I think the worst thing she ever did is certain performances that I accidentally attended recently. I just don't know that I need to see her live that much ever again. I don't know that. I think Glitter is also hard to get around.
That's
I think that's true. Probably
I take
the
it back.
Answer.
I take back Glitter.
Yeah.
The worst thing, Nick Cannon.
Oh, right. Which is your whole brand
how
now.
How could I not have said that?
Yeah.
That was the worst thing ever.
Right.
Two wonderful children out of it.
Yes.
But yeah, that I take back. You can have Glitter.
Okay. My favorite Mariah Carey song. I think her best moment. God, this is so hard. Honestly, I'm going to say the MTV Unplugged album. That moment when she became like, you know, there was doubts that she was that good a live singer. They're like, this can't possibly be how she actually sounds. And then she did it and sounded even better.
Right.
Like, who has ever exceeded expectations like that?
Yeah.
And of course, she did I'll Be There, the Jackson 5 cover. But she also does a song called Make It Happen, which is my favorite Mariah Carey song. And I love the vibe of that song. Like, the ambition, the I'm going to make it happen for myself thing. Very Madonna.
I'm torn with the best. I would say culturally, I think the best thing that Mariah's ever done is make it a Mariah Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's time. I don't get into the holiday spirit until I hear that.
Yeah.
You know, but for me personally, Emancipation of Mimi was life-changing.
Ooh, which track in particular?
Ooh.
Any one of them? Because I love It's Like That.
You do?
Yeah, you don't?
No, I do. I do. Honestly, I think it depends on the mood that I was in because I've listened to so many different tracks and I, again, was going through some breakups at the time.
Oh, sure. You've been through it.
I went through the trenches in my 20s and 30s, baby. But so it was rotating. But I think I bought that on a CD.
Oh, of course. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely in the like giant CD booklet I have somewhere.
The booklet that you used to keep in your car.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
I always say I believe every single one of those booklets has the Red Hot Chili Peppers album Californication. There's no such thing as having that thing and not having that album.
It was like when they put the YouTube not the YouTube, when they put the U2 song on iTunes and we all had it.
Yeah, the whole album. Oh my God, that was so upsetting. Also about Emancipation of Mimi, I was going to say, I love the remix of We Belong Together that's on the deluxe edition.
I mean, We Belong Together, child. You can still play that.
God, did she come back with that song?
I think,
Tina Turner level comeback.
I think that was really why I love the album so much, because they really wrote her off. She had the breakdown. Yeah. She got
Yeah, Charm Bracelet didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, she was down. And she was like, I'm not out, baby.
Right.
Not with talent like this, not with these pipes.
And she also is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, she is really funny. And listen, she'll never do a Real Housewives, but the queen of Shay. Like, she
kind of does belong there. Yeah.
She would thrive.
Yes.
Because she's funny.
Right. And takes issue with everybody in an Aretha-like way.
1,000%. And won't, like, let's not forget, we saw her on stage with Nicki Minaj on American Idol getting into
that. Watched the whole season. And in fact, I saw one of the finalists recently in Fire Island.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm from that season.
I love this twist. But listen, if you can handle arguing with Nicki Minaj in real time and you don't break a sweat, maybe listen.
The way she said some people don't have that about a number one hit. I mean, just who thinks like that and verbalizes it like that?
We don't have as many divas as we used to, the consummate divas. So
yeah.
Listen.
Right.
All right. Who do I have? Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy. Wow. The second diva. Oh. Honestly, good question.
Why is Ryan Murphy in here?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well,
this is supposed to be music.
Okay. That's true. We can go to the next one.
Baby, no. We're not doing that today.
Okay.
Y'all know it'll get me out of here. All right. Let's do another one. Aretha Franklin.
Oh, Aretha Franklin. Her best. Well, I will say this. Here's a question. Do you think the definitive pop cover of all time is Respect by Aretha Franklin, of course, Otis Redding.
Sure.
Or Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, originally Dolly Parton.
Ooh.
Because I would say, like, Aretha achieving that alone is amazing.
Are you trying to cause a divide in the black community by asking me this question?
Oh, my God. I would love to start schisms out of nowhere.
I'm like, oh, I physically fell ill when you asked me to choose that. I don't feel qualified to answer this. I'm nervous. I mean, I probably would say, I'm going to go with Whitney.
Okay.
Only because I feel like that's more closer to I experienced that in real time.
Yeah.
Where Respect, I didn't, I had to get that later because I wasn't, you know, I don't think I was born when Respect came out. So I think that's the only reason why, is that if I'm thinking of like a real life connection, it would be I Will Always Love You, because I remember where I was when that came out.
Yeah. Maybe Respect is also just way more important as a rock record than, like, the Whitney Houston cover is just more important, is I transformed this song and now it's this giant cultural moment thing.
Because unless you knew your thing back then, you didn't even know it was a cover. You know, I didn't find that
Don't worry,
out
I know
later.
Everything. Right. Yes.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God, Aretha Franklin's worst moment. Oh my God, I've never really thought about that. I mean, I even like her weird 80s stuff, like Who's Zoom and Who.
I don't know. I don't even know she should be in here. Is that her worst moment? I mean, she was shady, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I do think she was often extremely fucking mean. I feel this way about a couple, like, people like Katharine Hepburn was that bitch. Katharine Hepburn was a jerk.
There were times where I think there were a couple of singers who said that they didn't know what they were like. I think Fantasia was one where Fantasia did the interview and said Aretha was. So maybe that was the worst thing, where she was just like, Aretha was an idol. And she was like, I have no idea what I did to her, but she was not happy with me.
Right.
So
also, it's just because I keep trying to play back, like, what did Aretha think? Like, people are going to enjoy whomever, Jennifer Hudson. Right. That's not the right person. And then, like, forget about her. It's like so interesting.
That's the thing about being a diva, is unfortunately a lot of the divas wanted to hold on to that spot.
Yeah.
And listen, you're always going to be a diva, but that one number one spot is going to rotate.
Yeah.
That's just the way of life. And I think when you're that bitch, it's hard to be like, there could be another one right behind me, you know? And a lot of times folks try to, you know, sabotage them a little bit. So.
Oh, you know what? In terms of Aretha's worst on record, I'm going to say, I love the song Jump from the Sparkle soundtrack, the original movie Sparkle, not the Whitney Houston one, the one with Irene Cara. But the rest of it's a little boring. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to let you say that.
All right. Next. Dolly Parton, best and worst.
Ooh.
Actually, this is going to be pretty easy for me. Best, I'm going to go with both of her Academy Award nominated songs, which are, I think you have to include Jolene too, I guess. But, 9 to 5. And then also Traveling Through from the movie Transamerica. She didn't win for either. What a shame. Worst is definitely a Dolly Parton movie. And I think I'm going to go with Straight Talk with James Woods, filmed in my hometown of Lamont, Illinois. That's right. James Woods was near my home.
I loved all her movies. I don't care. There's no bad Dolly Parton movie. No, that doesn't exist.
Oh, please. Rhinestone. Allow me.
I don't know. I
joyful like, noise, not that joyful.
She's such a joy to watch. She's such a joy to watch.
But that, but like the movies themselves.
I will say she recently did a collab with Good American, and that probably was the worst for
me.
Oh,
yeah.
Because why are you with Khloe Kardashian doing anything?
Let's not
tarnish this legacy with the Kardashians. So that would be the worst for me.
What's the best?
Jolene.
Oh, Jolene is amazing.
Come on.
Oh, that, you know what? If I had to go with worst for Beyonce, I'd probably go with her Jolene cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I won't get involved in this.
She was like, what if I disrupted the melody and added a whole bunch of syllables? I was like, now it's not a song as much.
Ooh, Lewis, I don't know what to say. This is just
who are you afraid of?
I just
Nightly Pop's Nina Parker.
No, it wasn't my favorite of the album. I'll say that. Yeah.
I love the mixed bag of the album. It's so fun.
I don't know if we needed it, but I also think if she was like, I'm going to make a country album, I got to do something with Dolly.
Yeah.
So that's to me, it was like almost like obligatory.
It wasn't inspired enough. Yeah. Dolly has like a whole catalog of
shit. Did kind of feel like, here, damn.
Right, yeah, right.
You know,
right,
like there are a lot of things where people give you, they're like, here, girl, just take it. So it was kind of one of those things.
All right, one more?
All right, one more.
All right, let's
see. I love this game.
Me too. I am loving it too.
Even though Ryan Murphy was in here, I don't know what we was doing.
Well, here comes the other Ryan Murphy, Elton John. Can you go there or no?
Yeah, we can go there.
Okay. Best and worst. Okay, best, I am going to go with, honestly, I mean, like, I love pre-out Queenie Elton John.
Yeah.
The idea that this man had a song called The Bitch Is Back and your mom in the Midwest is like, I love that straight man.
Yeah.
I hope he and his wife are doing great.
Right.
The Bitch Is Back. The rowdiness of it, I like. The nastiness of it. And I also like Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Okay. Yeah. It's not even a song. It's more of like the representation, I feel like,
of
Elton. Because, there's something about people just being, especially in a time where you couldn't be unapologetically yourself. It's somebody coming out and being like, I'm a wear these rhinestones, baby, and these glasses, and you're going to get what I give. I think it's such a fearless act.
Oh, no, he rules. I mean, like, right. And eventually he came, he was so ahead of his time in so many ways.
1,000%.
And also, like, a celebrity you couldn't have made up, even, like, when he came out with, like, Your Song, like, the nature of these songs, like, that Tumbleweed Connection, Madman Across the Water, like, I don't think the world was begging for a songwriter like that. This kind of, like, gay, but also, like, classy, and I know those two things rarely go together. just like everything he brought was so shocking.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I never thought I'd be singing. I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is kind of catchy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was great. What would I say is the worst? What would you say is the worst?
Worst is, let's see. God. He does songs for musicals that I think are bad sometimes. Like the Billy Elliot musical, I don't like his songs in.
Yeah. The later stuff.
He had a couple albums that are a little bit more boring, like Peachtree Road and stuff.
It's not offensive, but it's not like my favorite.
Yeah. Is there a definitive favorite? In the 80s, it got a little kooky.
Yeah.
He actually has an amazing song that no one knows about with George Michael called Wrapper Up, which is about these two men who, by the way, they're both not quite out yet. And they're both like they're like the Vogue rap. They keep naming ladies they want to wrap her up.
What?
And it's, by the way, people like Vivian Leigh. Like they're talking about old stars. It's like, you ladies are queening out and the coding is that you want to hook up with them? Look up this song. You will not believe it.
Oh, now I'm terrified.
Yeah.
It's not him, but I will say the worst. This just recently happened. Elton John Foundation.
What happened with
that? They did a tribute to Lindsey Graham.
Well, that's right up. Oh, that's his worst. Excuse me.
So that's the worst.
This man performed for Rush Limbaugh.
That's right.
Why?
I learned that through you.
Yes. Which I had a tweet about it at the time was Elton John performing for Rush Limbaugh. That's like Elton John performing for Rush Limbaugh. There's no need to have a comparison. It's so insane.
Yeah, because what is this? Baby, what is this?
Right.
They took it down. But yeah, so that would be my new, it wasn't, probably, because you know sometimes they act independently. Somebody from the foundation, for whatever reason, put it up.
And Elton
probably saw it and was like, take this shit down. What did you do? Because they was arguing in the comments about it. Supporting it.
Right. He's like, I'm an EGOT winner. Don't do this.
Got dragged from Ruta to the Tuta. Okay.
Okay.
As they should have. So that would be my worst.
I'm not taking back either of my answers, but I also love, love, love the song. Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Oh, okay.
Fabulous song.
Okay. Yeah. So see, now we got rewatches and re-listens based off this game.
Yeah.
Which I think, look, this was a wonderful first round.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll do this with different categories and things.
Yeah.
It won't just be divas.
When it comes close to like Emmy times, we'll do it with like Emmy winners or nominees.
Ooh.
And that'll be fun. Because then we'll just do projects.
I'm going to like dance on the table. I'm too excited.
I love it when you get titillated. We'll be right back with more Keep It. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. There's clearly a gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out, and BetterHelp deletes that stigma once and for all. It's so easy to set up, and it's helped so many people.
With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews.
BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/keepit. That's betterhelp.com/keepit.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply stupid.
Doesn't sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, Lewis. So it is time for the spiciest part of the episode. It's time for Keep It.
Yes. And Nina, you better start us off.
I'm going to say Keep It to respectability politics.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Who's doing it now?
Oh, it's 2026, baby. It's guns a-blazing or nothing for me.
Right.
I'm not here for the middle ground anymore. We are not talking about a climate where we're talking about what kind of gasoline we need in cars, even though that's actually something we are talking about. But it's not that easily nuanced conversation. We are talking about people's rights being taken away.
Sure.
So the respectability politics of Lindsey Graham passing away and seeing all of these Democrats post tributes has been disturbing to the bottom parts of my soul.
Oh God, who's been doing it? I feel like you're about to enrage me.
They are on notice, baby. Cory Booker.
Oh no.
I need you.
He's sort of the king of this racket. Am I wrong?
I need him to reset.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, we didn't always agree.
You don't fucking say, bitch.
You're talking about Roe versus Wade. We're not talking about a fucking traffic light.
Yeah.
Are you well? What is wrong with him?
And who's like thrilled by that?
Called Lindsay a hero.
Oh my God, what?
And did a video and posted a reel about it, doing his afternoon walk. And then went and did news interviews, doubled down. We fiercely disagreed, but he was funny. Imagine getting assaulted by somebody. They knock you out. Your legs are broken. And somebody says, yeah, I know they hit you, but you know what? They bought my coffee once. How violently rage, what violent rage would you feel when you hear that? That's what I hear when I see Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren did it. Kamala Harris did it.
No.
The Elton John Foundation posted about him.
Right. Which was,
and I, you know, this is the thing. We're not in a climate where we can be soft about anything. And I'm not saying that people needed to rejoice in the streets, or however there were a lot of people who did, but you could not say anything. You're not required to say something about someone who was a champion for taking rights away, taking food out of people's mouths, for making some really horrendous statements about children, protecting sexual predators.
No, right. I also, I'm sure we have a whole podcast network of here people here who could answer this question, but I'm like, who are these fucking tweets for? Are they right. Like in their 70s and 80s?
Who, yes,
who's like, thank God you said something nice about that Lindsey Graham. Right. I always liked him in his ascot or whatever, because he fucking wears.
This got to be for somebody who's signing you a check, because it's not for the people.
No, right.
Because the people are dragging you by your non-existent edges, Corey.
Yeah.
Wake your ass up. You're done for. You're done. This is what I would have wrote if this was me.
Okay, go ahead, please. Oh, this is exciting.
This is actually from Fred's. I can't take credit, but it was hilarious. It's by someone named Ryan Krecker. This is what I would have wrote. Senator Lindsey Graham is now dead. Was he a perfect person? No. Did I agree with his politics? No. But do I think he deserves respect as a human being who passed away? Also, no. Get your ass out of here.
Right.
By the way.
You could have, by the way, stopped that one sentence in. Like, did we always agree? No. Done.
Right. And also, you know, no one is required. If you want to tell a story, go do it in your backyard.
Yeah.
Like, to some friends that you know, like a proper idiot. You don't get on wax and post this and hit send and send it to millions of people. Who are you serving? And now I'm just dragging Corey because I'm sick of him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, at some point we have to wake up and see you're quiet. I don't hear you. You didn't post this from Mondani.
Right. Right.
Where you post about that.
Right.
All the things he's doing in New York, I ain't seen you post a thing about that.
Also, by the way, this man is so, as in Lindsey Graham, is so specifically a joke. This
right.
is somebody who was like one time railing against Trump.
1,000%.
And then like months later is like saying he deserves
galloping
to be a Nobelist or something.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, like that's beyond hypocritical. It's like, 1,000%. It's like a child could point out that hypocrisy.
And by know? The way, if anything happened, you know, God forbid anything happened to these people, these Republican senators aren't coming out and doing 4-page spreads about how wonderful you were. They're going to ignore and go about their day and have a bagel and have a good day.
Right.
So to me, it's like, if you want to have respectability politics and reach out to his family, go ahead and do that. But just remember, when you are posting on your public forum, there are people you're supposed to be serving. And it is not the family of Lindsey Graham.
Right. I'm sorry to say this. My Keep It is also about Lindsey
Graham. Oh, really? Oh,
and it
look
is,
at this.
And again, this is just not an area of interest of mine. Like, I hate him, etc. But I have to say, Keep It to, I'm going to say about 80% of the gay-tinged tweets about Lindsey Graham. Here's the thing. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing out that a public figure is closeted, or that they're, like, clownishly hypocritical,
right,
or whatever. But the low-hanging fruit in the joke world of this, I'm coming at this from the late-night comedy writer perspective. I just feel like everybody sounds like a bad fashion police correspondent trying to be sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are you actually saying something damning about this person, or are you passing off a homophobic joke as novel?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That said, I want to point out a good version of this type of joke, because it does exist.
I love there's an example.
Yes. I don't know who Bella Fortunate is on Threads. I loved your joke, which is, sure, Mitch McConnell was evil, but don't forget that Lindsey Graham did everything he did, but only backwards and in high heels. That's just it. An oblique gay reference.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean? It's
yes.
not just like, oh, queen, we all know she was like taking loads in the whatever,
right.
whatever. It's like, you may as well just yell the F word at him.
Right.
You know
very
what I mean?
True,
it's
very
not
true.
Clever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the things that pass as clever. You know, I always say there's a lot of people who are very, very funny. And then there's also a lot of people who want to be very, very
That's
funny. And they
that
aren't.
Part.
And the way they compensate is by choosing a couple of lanes. One is meanness.
Yep.
And another is rudeness. And it's like, doing that aggressively, like you're some like roast comic from the 2000s hanging with Lisa Lampanelli, is not going to work. We have seen through this shit. You know, and I have to say, in this world of not just Twitter, but like all the things that have followed, Blue Sky, Threads, whatever, it's like, wit matters. And like
yeah.
people notice it and are like calling it out. So it's just like, the queenie kind of comments about Lindsey Graham, and again, he is a joke in every fucking way. It's just, It's not the slam dunk you think it is.
I feel that same way about the people who are like, now the NDA can be expired and I can go out and talk about it. But I'm like, does this say a lot? I mean, we knew he was not a good person, but what does this say about you that you were willing to like lay down with this person who is also a horrible person and against everything that you stand for?
Which is a different conversation
entirely, but it's weird, you know?
And I do wonder what we will find out about Lindsey Graham. I'm sure the horrors are yet untold.
You know, and there's also all these conspiracy theories about, like, he just got back from the Ukraine and there's all these things talking about, like, the FBI was at his house the next day, like 20 members of the FBI. Mm. So this goes down a dark rabbit hole of things. But ultimately, what I wanted to say is, fuck you, Cory Booker.
Damn, that was like a stingray. Shit. Oh, my God.
I just can't believe him. But anyway, you know, again,
Cory Booker, cousin to RuPaul.
Like, how dare you? I
believe they're related.
Are they really?
He's RuPaul's cousin. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's like nobody ever talks about it.
Oh, but yeah. I wonder why. Yeah. RuPaul probably is saying, shut that shit down. I would. I just, you know, ultimately, I really want to fight for people who don't have a voice. And it is just so offensive to me when there's a public servant who is doing the opposite of that and not even acknowledging the fact that you're hurting people with your words by trying to praise someone else who wants their downfall.
Yes.
How dare you?
Oh, please. No. Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Nita Parker, we did a lot of good work this episode. And also a lot of nasty work.
A lot of nasty work, and I'm here for more.
Please. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But
I'm hungry. Yeah.
We got games. We got everything. Why wouldn't you join us? Are you crazy?
No, we're like an ESPN zone. You can have the time of your life. Get some food. Get whatever.
We're giving
jokes.
You a little bit of everything. It's your smorgasbord in this thing.
Yes. Oh. Well, I was going to thank our guests for joining us, but we're the guests.
We're the guests, and our game was the guest today.
Yes, right. Thank you, sweet girl. We love you. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next week.
Bye.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Vertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Nia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
So listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.